Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, December 3rd, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Elodie.
Well, it's just you and me this first segment. Wendy Wilson was unable to be here today. She will be joining us next Wednesday.
I'm not afraid.
You're not afraid?
No.
Okay. I fear no. Mm-hmm. I have no fears either. But gold had no fears today. We had another nice little day, up 1260, currently in the New York spot after market trading at 1212. Silver today down 0.04 at 16.53. Platinum up 13 at 1228. That's really hard saying this stuff slow. And palladium down 6 at 800, right on the nose. And we're going to go right ahead, and you guys are just going to have to listen quicker, listen faster. And you have the USDX today trading higher 0.31 at 88.94. So I'll repeat myself. Crude oil up also 52. At 67.40. One of the reports I saw today, Al, the economy is getting so much better, and the Wall Street is just spinning. You have oil and gas companies are climbing as the price of crude oil edged up. Oh, okay, it edged up what? From
50 cents.
I know it. It's just like all those oil companies. Yeah,
it's down over 30% in the number in a couple of months, and it's up 50 cents.
But that's a sign of a great economy. Things are looking up, and we'll be talking about that here right after we get done with the paper market reports. Let's see, what did I do? Crude oil? Crude oil was up 52 at 67.40, and the USDX up 31 at 88.94. Paper markets today, you have the Dow, everything was in the green today. That was up 32 points at 17,912. And with all this great economic news, you just had a great showing in the Dow today, and up a whole 32 points. But of course, both the Dow and the S&P close at new records. And so this is the first time above 17,900 for the first time. The NASDAQ was up 18 at 47.74. And you're going to see that hit 5,000 too. The S&P 500 was up 7.78 at 2,074. Let them be joyous now because, you know, we talked yesterday about our debt. We talked about, you know, it's
there are insurmountable problems.
Yes,
and, you know, if
absolutely.
You follow this stuff, a lot of people don't pick up on this because they don't follow it every day to the same extent that we do. This is not to say that we are so knowledgeable about this necessarily,
no, we are,
but
though.
Are aware of things that if all you're doing is listening to a little program like this, you're getting a synopsis, you're getting a summary of some of what's happening. But one of the most interesting and perhaps frightening observations that I can make about the current system is that strange things are happening. I've been reading where in the S&P 500, they're doing things they've never done before. In terms of the analysis for gold, things are happening that have never been seen before. We are seeing strange things happening, and I don't understand. I don't necessarily understand what's going on, and I don't know that I even need to. All I need to do, it's a little like being in a haunted house, right? And okay, I see a bat flying around. Like it turns into a man standing over there in the corner. I got somebody over here. All it looks like it turned into a wolf. I'm seeing some strange things in this haunted house, and I'm beginning to wonder what's going on. And the frequency and the strangeness of these events is enough to make me think that we just might be on the edge of something dramatic. Now, can I prove it? No. But I can just tell you, it's one of the most disturbing things about following these events on a daily basis. You look and you see, geez, they keep something strange and perhaps unprecedented seems to be happening almost on a daily basis. It may not be that often, but every couple of days, something strange.
Yeah, but Al, you might not have been following these markets for as long as I have, and this isn't a little program. We have helped thousands and thousands.
Let me finish, please.
We have helped thousands and thousands of people position themselves. So when this does come about, and it will come about because of the debt, and it's just even more insanity now today than there was 20 years ago. But 20 years ago, we knew exactly where we were headed because it all comes back to that fiat currency. You only have one outcome when you deal with a fiat currency. Your country, no matter what country, no matter what bank, whatever, it comes to this end. It comes to the conclusion. And we see these changes. I've only been experiencing it for 20 years, 21 in this business for 20 years. Some of you listeners, I mean, Jim from West Virginia, he's been seeing the changes of the fiat currency with everything that has happened a lot longer. He's older than we are.
I didn't think you were 21 to begin with. No, that much surprise that you've been following this. You must have started this while in the bassinet.
That's true. My parents, absolutely. It was my education.
Mm-hmm.
So we have done a lot, and this will come to a conclusion. It has a conclusion, and people who don't take advantage of what we're explaining to them, and bringing these. This information too. It's very important, and you do have to get prepared, and you do have to read between the lines of this information that is produced. I saw another statement today from one of my clients. Remember, in fact, I think it's the same client where they had like what $250,000 in the bank in his annual interest. Was $20?
Yeah.
Really? And now you have all these people.
Oh, boy.
Now you have...
All I can say is my financial advice to you is don't spend it all in one place. You know, $20, that adds up. You know, you keep getting $20, another $20, and pretty soon you'll have a whole $100.
But you see, all of this, You see all these retirements, all these pension funds. They're all in Wall Street. They all think it's great. You're meeting all these record highs. You have every financial planner out there saying, you know, hey, you know, the government is there for you. Are they going to be? Look at the risk that you're taking now by being in these markets. You have investors that are, because where else do they have to put their money? There is a report that is required annually under the Dodd-Frank, under their financial reform law, and it's supposed to show the focuses on the increased risk-taking in the markets. And they have it broken down into three sectors. You have the risky business. Investors are ramping up on the risk, but they have no other choice. With these low interest rates, there's no money coming out of the banks with their money. They can't save. The only place they can save is in the stock market to get any type of return at this point in time. So you have these investors that are looking for higher returns. Every time you look for a higher return, guess what? Your risk goes higher also. So you have these corporate junk bonds. You have the European economies that are all in recession. The emerging markets. I mean, all of these are high, very high-risk places to be, but this is where people are going. And once the Treasury starts increasing the rates, you could have all these investments not should blow up, but will blow up, could blow up, will blow up in the investors' faces, so to speak. And there's not enough liquidity. You know, liquidity that keeps the market going. You have the Treasury that's worried that there won't be enough of it should things get ugly for the markets. They're telling you there's not enough liquidity, not enough cash. And then you
yeah,
have
but
all-
that's a very strange thing, given that they printed an extra $4 trillion. All right, with quantitative easing. I understand what you're saying. It hasn't reached the economy. It hasn't reached the ordinary people. But nevertheless, they printed $4 trillion, and somebody's just sitting on it.
The article says that you have in the recent years, you had these banks that were to bulk up on their cash reserves. And the report raised the possibility that these capital requirements could restrict banks' ability to make loans and the trade. It also cautioned that less liquidity could stymie the activities of money market funds during any type of stress periods and exposing them to where people, investors, are forced to sell assets at these deeply discounted prices. So, you know, you had these type of funds that froze up during the 2008 crash. So you get all these things going on, and then you have this high-speed trading with these super-fast computers. You can trade a large number of stocks in milliseconds. You have all these dark pools and different trading venues. And, I mean, it's just like people are sitting there.
It's comprehensible. That's part of the problem. Things are moving so fast that no one can keep up and really understand what's going on. Particularly, you talk about high-speed trading. That's not being done because somebody pushes a button and says, let's buy some General Motors. This thing, these high-speed computers are essentially following stocks and deciding on their own whether to buy or sell or hold. And as a result, there's no human intervention other than perhaps the systems analyst that designed the algorithm that they're using to trade. But there is only limited human participation. The market, in a sense, is at least parts of it, have become almost incomprehensible. They're moving, things are happening, but no one is really in control, and maybe no one even fully understands what's going on. And all by itself, that is disturbing. You know, it's like being in an airplane and there's no pilot. Well, maybe they've got an autopilot. Maybe it flies this thing all right. But still, I'd feel a little more comfortable if I could see a pilot and a co-pilot sitting in the seats up there at the front of the airplane. But there's nobody there. So all of it becomes unnerving. And it's one of those things where you look at it and you wonder, are we really living in a better world? Are we better living through computers and chemistry and whatever else? Is that where we are? Or are we on the edge of something that is just beyond our ability to fully understand, even imagine we're understanding?
Well,
how do you invest then? How do you invest if you don't understand? How do you invest if you can't understand? there are strange things afoot, and it just yada yada. I look at it, I'm saying, we, you know, I've thought for a long time that we were going to have the problem of the stuff would hit the fan, and it hasn't.
You can never, ever underestimate their power and their ability to keep it going. I mean, they have unlimited power, unlimited ways and means in order to...
Everything is limited. There are limits to all.
And there are limits, but that's why we always talk about the
limits.
Yeah, that's why we talk about the black swan, something that they can't control, something that even just the size of everything will fall on its own. But you go out there and you talk to any... Maybe not our listeners that are retired, but you go out and you talk to any retiree out there where their money is in the markets, and they're just happy as pie. I mean, and they don't see anything coming, and that's a fact.
They are
primed for when something that happens. They are primed for the government to come in and say, hey, why don't you let us take over your finances? We'll give you so much a month. Social Security is bust anymore. But if you give us your money, we'll make sure you'll never have to worry anymore about the markets.
Give us your
money now, and you won't ever have to worry about the stock market, interest rates, savings. We'll take care of you. And you might die a little bit sooner because of Obamacare, but that's okay, you know. But these people are primed for that takeover, and that's what they're doing. They're priming them for that takeover. And if you don't think that people have been conditioned over the years that this is not an agenda, and maybe the agenda started out in one thing, but it has evolved into something else, we know where it's headed. It's all about conditioning these people, and they're primed. So it's just a matter of time. These people don't want to lose their houses. They don't want to lose their cars. They don't want to lose their little trips.
They don't even think they can.
And they don't even think, and that's right.
And that's part of the problem.
Yes.
And there's part of the problem. You've actually got to recognize that we are living in difficult, challenging, interesting, and perhaps dangerous times. And you got to govern yourself. You've got to take that potential danger. You've got to recognize the risk. Take that potential danger into consideration. And, you know, maybe things aren't that dangerous right this minute. Maybe we are exaggerating in a sense, or overreacting, not exaggerating. Maybe we're overreacting. Could be. But I'm just telling you, you look at this and you look at this and you look at this and you begin to say, wait a second. I think we're close to something. Now, when I say close, I mean within 6 months. I don't necessarily mean before the end of this year. But I can tell you that I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw something extraordinary happen before the end of the year. And I don't mean that all of a sudden the whole economy would just grab and lock up and everything just stops. It won't be like that. It'll be a significant step downward, but it won't be to the ground floor. We won't hit, you know, the lowest level in one day. It'll just be another significant step downward, and then maybe another one downward, and we're going to watch that. But I think we're maybe going to see something significant, maybe, you know, within the next really little while, 6 months, maybe even 6 weeks, hard to say. So, we've got Greg Hunter is on the program today. Greg will be joining us as soon as we get done with our commercial announcements, which are coming up in a moment. Greg Hunter, of course, is from USAWatchdog.com. He does some great interviews and really gets to some of the best people in the country to get their opinions on what's happening in the political and economic realms, and he will be here to tell us what he's learned lately in just a couple of minutes. Please stay tuned. Okay, Frank.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're on. I didn't hear any music.
I didn't either.
Uh-huh. Well, who will we? We're going to establish responsibility for that in just a little while, but not right now. We're going to launch a federal investigation to see who is responsible. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Our guest is Greg Hunter, and we'll get to Greg in just a moment. Melody has this for you first.
And we'll do this real quick. We're going to carry through yesterday's special. Actually, it's been carrying on for a week. It's a great special. 20 one-ounce Silver Eagle coins. We also have 20 of the pre-1921 Morgan silver dollars. And we have a $20 face value, 90% silver. These are actually quarters. It includes your shipping costs, all for the low price of $1,195. So you have 20 one-ounce Silver Eagles, and they are dated 2014s, 20 Morgan silver dollars pre-1921. Most of those are all 1880s and 1890s. And $20 face value of 90% silver. Give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. And
here's Greggy.
It's Greg. Sorry
yep.
for the...
How you doing?
Hunter. Greg Hunter.
Just fine. Greg
I'm surprised.
Hunter. He's the
I'm surprised you guys got that you guys got inventory.
Yes, we do.
I'm telling you, they're approaching a record this year for sale of Silver Eagles. Approaching a record. They're just a few hundred thousand away from a record.
Yeah.
Of selling Silver
about-
Eagles, I think.
Yep, we talked about that last year, yesterday. I mean, last year was a record, and we're beating, and there's no reason why we won't beat last year's record. So, absolutely.
If they throttle it, if they all of a sudden say, oh, we run out just before, I don't know if they're going to allow the record to go or whatever. Something's going on. I mean, you know, something's going on. I mean, I think that this is the sales really of monster boxes is what it probably is. It's big money you generate in some of this, and you ought to do it big. I always say, do what rich people do at a smaller level.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. The demand for silver has been very strong. And, you know, certainly the Treasury, they can do what they always do. At the end of the year, we always have delays as they switch over from year to year.
This is record. I mean, we're just a hair under record territory. So this is near record territory.
We're short by about 400,000.
And that's what we got the whole month to go, basically.
Yep.
So I can't imagine them not, unless they run out, then they won't have a new record. But I can't see how they don't. I mean, they can do 400,000 in, you know, in a day if they needed to.
Absolutely. So I haven't heard of what the inventories they have left, what the allotments have been set up. I'll see if I can't find that out. But I don't see any reason. I mean, they already have their 2015s to start off with, so it's not like they have to shut down the year for 2014 yet. So we'll keep everybody posted. So in the meantime, folks, take advantage of these low prices. You know, don't wait for it to disappear.
Are you still doing the 250 over? Not that I'm into, you know, telling what you do or anything, but are you still doing 250 over spot?
No, it is a little bit higher than that. They changed
the
wholesale.
Last time I was on, you said it was 250 over spot. I said, wow, that's a deal.
And yeah, it was a deal. And you know what, Greg? That changed like within hours. It was when the Treasury came out and said they were out of the 2014s. Premiums jumped from, and I'm talking just wholesale. Wholesale premiums were 290.
Wow. Yeah, when you said 250 over spot, I thought, it's a deal.
Yep.
Not trying to sell your deal or anything like that, but I know enough about it. I mean, I know what you know, but I know enough about it to know that 250 over spot's a deal. And I'm telling you, I just had Rob Kirby on. And let me preface this story. Let me preface this story with this. I didn't cover the stuff at ABC and CNN. I didn't cover, some explosion or something, some event or something that happened or something that was in the newspapers. I read the newspapers, but I didn't get my stories out of the newspapers. And if I did get a story, it wasn't a story out of the newspaper. It was, they're doing the task force. Oh, we should look into a task force on dogfighting. How bad can it be? I actually did this story. I actually wanted to do this story. I was at CNN, and I read the paper. I said, wow, little section in the USA Today said Virginia has a task force on dogfighting. And I'm thinking, how bad could it be for the state of Virginia, population of, I don't know, 10 million people, to have a special task force on dogfighting? And whenever you used to call the police, you didn't ask them, hey, you got a story for me. You always ask them this question, what are you working on? Because, you know, the police were most police I look at most police as good, not bad. There are some bad police, but most of them are good, and most of them are not getting rich being police officers, right? They want to do right. Most of them have a good sense of right and wrong. So you'd always ask the police, and I'm getting to my story, just hang in there with me. And you always ask them, what are you working on? So I go to my boss and say, hey, Virginia has a task force on dogfighting. I mean, this must be a problem. This must be a huge problem, you know, in today's day of, you know, smartphones and cameras. You know they got video. You know they got something going on. You know they got video. Yeah, they told me, my bosses. Yeah, too sad. No, we don't want to do that. Really? I mean, you don't want to... I mean, we'll just, you know, drill a hole here. I mean, drill a hole like a wildcat or an oil well. Let's just drill a hole here. Let's just do this. Yeah, no, too sad. 2 months later, Michael Vick, arrested for dogfighting. Oh! What do you bet that they would have, let me stand outside the residence the day they walked him out in handcuffs and said, yeah, you need to be at this address. You know, and then they were on nonstop 24/7 about Michael Vick dogfighting. All that to say this. Did you know dogfighting was a big story on the internet? No, you really didn't know. Oftentimes I would be working. I'm getting to my story. Hang with me. Oftentimes I'd be working on a story, and they'd say, you're working on XYZ, this new this or this case or this that. We can't find it on the internet. And I'd look at them and go, yeah, it's original. Of course. course you can't find it on the internet. I didn't get it from the internet. I thought it up myself, you know, as a reporter, you know, develop leads, develop a story, find out what it is, try to put it together, get good people that, you know are telling the truth to do a story. Yeah, that's right. It's not on the internet. You're right. Oh, this is like, they call it enterprise reporting. Okay, here's my story. So I do this thing with Rob Kirby. I call him up. I just call my sources and say, what are you working on? What are you doing? What are you working on? Anything I need to know? Yeah, he says, you know, my contact, Rob Kirby, works at Kirby Analytics, and he buys and sells tonnage for people. Tonnage.
Gold. Tonnage of gold.
Tonnage of gold. Gold. Yeah, foreign countries don't hold silver as a central bank asset. They hold gold. Although silver is good for, you know, regular people. But anyway, tonnage. And he says, you know, and there's some things I can't tell you about my conversation, but I can tell you this. You know, they're doing at least 50% over spot. What? 50%? They're paying 50% over spot.
In Asia.
In Asia. Mm-hmm. And I have a good contact, and he didn't tell me who were, what country they were in or who we were. And he also deals with finance. I'm not disclosing anything I shouldn't disclose here. He deals with finance ministers in Asia in some countries. I won't tell you what countries, but he deals with finance ministers. This is not a trade that's going on in Asia. It is a strategic policy.
Yeah.
Now, back to the 50% over spot. People are, well, I can buy a bar in Dubai. Yeah, right, go find yourself 5 tons. Well, I can do buying gold right now. It's a, yeah, into a country, 5 tons ain't much. I mean, Ukraine had 40 tons. Gone, poof, bye-bye, they're pissed. So, you know, a ton doesn't help a country, even the size of Ukraine. And so he says, my sources are paying at least 50% over spot. And they don't really, you know, and there's some other stuff they told me I can't say yet, but they're letting the market that you and I are in just keep being mispriced by, you know, this bogus gold price at COMEX and LBMA. They're just going to allow it to keep going. And behind the scenes, they're feverishly buying gold at least 50% over spot for tonnage. What does that tell you?
1,800 an ounce.
What does that tell you, or more? What does that tell you about where we are in the game cycle here?
We're getting close to the end. We're about to run out of gold, down at the low level. Retail level.
What does that also tell you? If you're willing to pay 50% at least over spot, let's say you pay 100% over spot, let's just say that.
You're either very dumb or very smart. These people with that money must be smart.
Let's just say gold goes to 10,000 ounces. Now, and this is why I wrote this in my How to Buy Gold and Silver, about paying premiums and buying quality and paying the premium, you know, pay the $250 or $4 or $5. Don't buy, you know, these, you know, Bob's Rounds, you know, Billy Buck's gold dust. Don't do that. Don't do that. If you live in Canada, buy yourself Canadian, right? Buy yourself Eagles. If you live in America, buy yourself U.S. Eagles. And buy yourself the coin of the realm. Buy yourself, you know, and I list out the coins that are the, you know, the best well-known coins. Pay the commission, pay for quality, because you're not going to care whether you paid $50 or $80 an ounce over gold spot. You're not going to care whether you paid $4 or $5. You're not going to care whether you paid $30 or $40 or $20 or $50. You're not going to care when the dollar cracks. You're not going to care. And just like these guys in a big picture, I'll back up white shot, in a big picture, you're not going to care whether you pay $2,400 an ounce if it goes to $10,000 and you still can't get it at $10,000. You're not going to care. You're not going to care. Do you have it? Yes, check. You know, you're not going to say, wow, we got ours for $1,500. Hey, we got ours for $1,150. Hey, now it's $12,000 or $15,000. And you're setting now monetary policy backed by a certain percentage. You know, they wanted to back only 20% of their currency in Switzerland with their gold, with their Swiss gold, though. Only 20%. So it won't be a 100% backing for gold for any new currency that comes out. If that's a line of thinking that's happening, and even if it's digital, it'll be some type of component where, well, you know, it's digital, but it's backed by, you know, this oil or gold or wheat or, you know, commodities, or it's going to be backed by something or a variety of some things. And you're not going to care. And that's what it tells me. It tells me if they're willing to pay up big money for tonnage, then they want to vet off all the paper they can. They don't care about the price. They're trying to get all the tonnage off the small ounces, bars, you know, retail stuff. That just leave it just shh, quiet, shh, shh. That just keep taking it by the ton. We'll take the tonnage. We'll just keep taking it off. That's what they're doing. And that's what I think they're doing, and I think we're getting to the end of the game. And
that's
also,
exactly right. The question is, what does this indicate about timing? And what I mean by that is this. If there are people who should know what they're doing, and they're overpaying on tons of gold by 50%, are they anticipating that the price of gold is going to go up a year from now, 5 years from now, or do they see something dramatic happening in a much shorter period of time?
You can only say that it will be a much higher price relative to whatever currency you're buying it in. And I don't want to even say it in dollars because, you know, who knows what the dollar will be or, you know, what's going to happen with it or what kind of black swan could hit or whatever. You just got to say to yourself it's likely, A, going to be a much higher price relative to whatever currency, and B, much more scarce, and C, much harder to get somebody to give it to you.
Yeah.
What is the timing? I don't know, but that is certainly, surely happening. And for them to release my contact, I got to call you back. And so he called me back and said, okay, I can say this. And what it tells me is they talked it, because this guy works for governments, Rob Kirby. He works for finance ministers. He works for players with billions of dollars, billions of euros, dollars, whatever the currency is. Billions, not hundreds of millions, billions. And it's just, and they think it's they think the game is getting, you know, if you're paying 100% over spot and you're 50% or 80% or whatever you're paying over spot and you can't find tonnage, oh, boom, you're at the end of the game. We're getting towards the end of the game. And the end, and people were on my site with a rock, I can't find anything on the internet. Oh, let's go back to R&D and enterprise reporting. Of course you can't find anything on the internet. Because it's not on the internet. You think these big money players stick everything they do on the internet? No! No, they're not all dumb like, you know, the rest of it. I got a smartphone. Did you hear about the guy who took a selfie of himself and it goes to the cloud? And there his picture of the phone he stole is on the cloud? I got a smartphone. You know, you have a stupid phone. You have a government data collection device is what you got. You know what all the rage is now happening in Los Angeles? Flip phones, StarTax, dumb phones. So, of course, it's not on the internet. You think these people that are dealing in hundreds of billions of trillions of dollars in monetary and strategic monetary policy, you think they're going to stick that on the internet until they're ready to?
Not unless Edward Snowden steals a thumb drive, but what? I understand this is extraordinary information. I'm sure that some people are going to question it, but I have I wanted to bring it up today already before you started on it. I planned on bringing it up, but this is an extraordinary article by again Rob Kirby. It's reproduced as your blog at usawatchdog.com.
Yeah,
it's really worth the people's time and trouble. Take a look at it.
You work your sources. You put out good sources. You put out good people that have said things in the past. And we're getting to the end of the game. And they don't think we're getting to the end of the game. They just said, you know, we took most of our tanks away from Eastern Europe, okay? Because things were going pretty good with Russia, and they were beaten, and they weren't going to start any trouble, and whatever. We just sent 100 tanks to Eastern Europe, 100 U.S. Mm-hmm. tanks. Just sent in 100 U.S. tanks to Eastern Europe. You know, ding, 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 ding. Hey, folks, the game is coming to a close. The game is coming to a close. The
Which means that people
fraud,
aren't prepared should do. They should make a very diligent, persistent, determined effort to get ready. Because it was like I was talking about in the first segment. There's something going on right now, and it really feels like we're close.
Well, the other thing is, too, is that, you know, let's just do a
tell you what. Why don't you hold that other thing for a moment, Greg? We're going to take a break for some commercials, and we will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment with Greg Hunter. Please stay tuned.
pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adusk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Our guest is Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. We've been talking about an interview he did with Rob Kirby just in the last couple of weeks, and Greg had something that he wanted to add at the end, at the beginning of the last commercial break. Greg, what do you got for us?
Well, I just want people to think big picture here and look at all the news. I mean, at one point, Michael Bloomberg, the former mayor, you know, Mr. Anti-Gun, who travels with armed security guards and armed bodyguards, you know, he hates guns, but just for you and me. And he at one point, which he stopped doing this, I believe. I mean, everybody did it. Well, even the president was like, oh, no, they did nothing wrong. Wall Street did nothing wrong. Michael Bloomberg, oh, no, they didn't do anything wrong. But let me tell you what they did wrong, okay? I'm just going to run down a laundry list of the things that Wall Street did wrong that not a single big banker has gone to jail fraud, to jail for. They sold liar loans, okay? They sold liar, no-doc loans is what they're, liar loans. They sold liar loans, which is, you know, mortgage application fraud. They packaged the liar loans into securities, that's securities fraud. They sold the, they rated the things AAA when they weren't. That certainly is some sort of fraud. Then when it all blew up, they had robo-signing. You know, everybody was signing it real fast. We're signing it real fast. They were creating documents because they needed promissory note documents to go in and foreclose on homes. What they were saying to judges around the country, well, we lost the documents, right? So they had a factory of fraud, perjury, forgery, and fraud on the court. They rigged LIBOR, which is trillions of dollars in interest rate setting around the nation. They rigged the Forex market, which, according to Rob Kirby, has a gold component. They rigged and paid fines for the precious metals market. Wait, keep going here. They laundered money for drug cartels, the bankers. They laundered money for countries on the terror list like Sudan and Iran. And they rigged the stock market by buying futures. They rigged the gold and silver markets with naked shorts on the market, okay? That's just some of the fraud and crime that is floating the economy globally. Now,
and it's evidence that the system, we're not talking about a couple of aberrations, we're not talking about a couple of crooks over in some remote location. We are talking about systemic fraud, systemic corruption. The whole system is rotten.
Yes. And now let's talk about the theory, the concept of the rule of law. Why do we have the rule of law in civilized society so we don't have chaos? So the society stays stable. So civilization stays stable. Now, what happens when you remove the rule of law in the entire global financial system? You will end up with chaos and instability. And that, folks, is what's happening. That is what's going to happen. So you don't buy gold for inflation. You don't buy gold to make tons of money. You buy gold, you buy silver as a hedge against corruption and lawlessness and chaos that our government has been bought off, governments around the world, bought off to do. That's the reason why you buy all that kind of stuff. That's why you buy precious metals. You buy precious metals for that reason.
It's more than an investment. There's more here than mere investment.
Forget the investment part of it. It's like buying insurance. I mean, if you make money on it, fantastic. I mean, if you have a car wreck and you get a new car because of it, because you bought insurance, well, that's not why you bought it. You bought it because you didn't want to be wiped out.
Yeah.
And you know, the good thing about gold and silver, it's an insurance policy. I tell people this. I said, you know, I can't tell you what the bottom is. I can't tell you what the top is. I can tell you that you should have it, just like you wouldn't have a house without, you know, a fire insurance or hazard insurance. Just like you wouldn't drive your car without car insurance. But you know, that expires every 6 months, every year, whatever, however you mark your payments every month, that expires. Buying of precious metals does not expire. And if there was ever a time where you needed insurance against chaos and catastrophe and bank bail-ins that are coming, I'm going to be working on that in the next week or so, you know, the big players know what I know. I'm not that smart, folks. Big players know what I know. And this is so corrupt. This is so obviously corrupt and obviously unprosecuted criminal activity globally that you know the system is going to come undone at some point. And when it does, nobody's going to march out there and blow a trumpet. And, you know, I mean, I think I said this last time. I had Jim Rickards on, best-selling author of, you know, The Death of Money. And he was telling me, and he knows big people, not little people like me. He knows big people as friends, and he says, my friends tell me when this is going to blow up like the day before, and I'll go out and buy gold. And he goes, hey, you can't do that. And we already have enough snow on the mountain to have an avalanche. We have way more snow than we need to have an avalanche. And what is going to be the final snowflake, the straw that breaks the proverbial camel's back, the snowflakes that causes the avalanche? We have the snow up there. It's all there, folks. It's all there. And, you know, my family members, I don't even talk about what I do. They don't ask me about it. I don't talk about it. They think I'm crazy time. And I'm like, at some point, you're going to know what I know. At some point, you're going to know what I know. But
they're
going to
suspect that you have some gold, and they'll be there to call on you. They will remember you then.
Well,
if they think
you've
got any gold or silver, the family relations will be healed.
Well, my money is in the fight, in my sight. That's where I put, you know, that's where I put my whole deal. I lived on, I know what the word cash burn means, you know, I lived on my savings to make this site work. You know, I didn't have anybody, investors, I don't have any, I'm not on the hook to anybody. So I can just do what I want to do whenever I want to do it. God, that's free at last, free at last, free at last. I do not have
You know
to,
what else is good about that?
What?
You don't have to lie. And I bet
well,
you
I
understand that because when you were working
up
for someone else, they told you one way or another, at least at times, what you would be allowed to say or you shouldn't say.
They never told me that at CNN,
own,
I will tell you that.
Yeah, but they controlled one. That you were talking earlier in the program and said, well, someone said this was too sad and we can't run this story.
Yes, but when I was doing financial
stuff,
they never
knew. And run the story.
They never stepped in and stopped me from saying something about the banks were in trouble. Of course, they just didn't renew my contract, which is the best thing that ever happened to me.
Well, it's a good thing when you can be in a position where you can tell the truth all
well,
by
yes.
itself. That has great benefit, value, All right. You can say what you want to say. Ooh, that's a good situation to be in.
Well, I'm never going to be 100% right, but I don't have to act surprised when it blows up. Now, either do I? I don't. Yeah.
You talked to John Williams just in the last couple of days, if I understand correctly, and he's critical of the government's claim that the economy went up 3.9% in the third quarter and 4.6% in the second quarter after we had, I believe it was a negative 1.9 in the first quarter.
But according to him, it's the two best back-to-back quarters since 2003. Do you believe that we've had the two best back-to-back quarters since 2003? Do you believe the economy is rocking, rolling? Do you think it's rolling?
It's just so stupid. It's one of those things where,
if
there was a time when they lied to you, they would at least give you lies that were credible, and you might be able to believe them. But
yeah,
now
but you know what's sad, though?
They're so stupid.
Is the people
out there
believe it.
It's like Baghdad Bob. It's getting to the point where it's so absurd. It's like, you know, we come out with a 3.9% revised print on the third quarter GDP, and then Black Friday comes in, and no, all the sales didn't go to the Internet. Some of them did. They had record sales, but they're down 11%. And then, you know, the thing about the sale for that period of time, the Black Friday weekend, you know, Thursday to, Sunday or Monday or whatever the time period they marked out is that Black Friday, down 11%. But, whoa, wait a minute, let's factor in inflation, just the government's inflation, 1.7%. So it's really down, 12.7%. Well, hold on a minute. Let's factor in the minimum of what the inflation would be if you did it the way it was done in 1990. That'd be 5%. So, well, we're down 16%. Oh, let's do inflation the way we did it in 1980, and that's about 9%. That's what the inflation rate is. If you did it the way Bureau of Labor Statistics did it in 1980, according to John Williams, we're down 20%. So take your pick.
From last year.
Between Black Friday of 2014 and Black Friday of 2013, that time period, that four or five day weekend,
4 days.
That period, the same period, down 11%. That's what they say on the outset, and they don't even factor in any kind of inflation. And that we're talking about retail sales now, not gasoline prices, So. Yeah, it's just absurd. They come out with this big print, and then all of a sudden the economy, some people are doing well. I mean, and that's what the whole Ferguson thing's all about. Let me tell you what the Ferguson thing's about, in my humble opinion, is to cover up a bad economy, particularly on the lower end of the spectrum, black or white or Mexican or whatever, on the lower end of the spectrum, they aren't getting record gains in the stock market. They're not, humming along. They're, the stock market is close to the money spigots. That's where the stock market is. And the people on the bottom end of the spectrum are farthest away from the money spigots. Guess what's happening to them? Bad things. Bad things. And so we have to contrive some sort of
prone to riot.
Their hope and change went to back to despair and government handouts. That's what happened with the president. And I'm not a Republican. And the lying. Oh, my God, the lying. I mean, the Obamacare thing is the biggest policy lie in history. And USA Today wouldn't even cover it. I called up their editorial board and ripped them a new one on their voicemail. About, you got to be kidding me. You have to be kidding me. Who's doing editorial there at USA Today? It's the biggest policy fraud in history. It's provable. You've had this, Jonathan Gruber, MIT economics professor specializing in the healthcare industry, admitting they lied. They lied. Multiple lies. Admitted they concocted, they didn't miss it. They didn't, we didn't factor in this unintended consequence. They lied and they knew it would be what it was and they lied about it. And you have Chuck Schumer out, saying, we shouldn't have passed Obamacare. The Democrat of Democrats, if you said, hey, what's one of the top five Democrats in America? Chuck Schumer in New York, he'd be in there. Mm-hmm. And he just came out in front of the Washington Press Club and said, we shouldn't have passed Obamacare. We blew it. We should have been working on the economy. Well, what does that tell you about where he thinks the economy is going? Do you think he thinks it's getting better? You think he thinks it'll get better before now in 2016?
It makes you wonder whether Obamacare will damage the economy. All right.
Is Obamacare
contrary to the economy's best interest?
Oh, you know that's basically what he's saying.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. We should have worked on the economy, and then what do they have? We've got the 29-hour work week. Oh, you want to work more? Well, get yourself another 29-hour job, and you will not get time and a half or over. I can't believe the unions are loving this. I can't believe they can get this past all the black people. Hey, we just, in his new latest policy, we just made legal 5 million, Hispanics or, illegal aliens. Whoa! 25 to 35% black unemployment rate. You think he's working for you? So wait, you don't have enough competition for those lower end 29-hour a week jobs. We're going to give you 5 million more people to compete against. What? I mean,
you talked earlier, you mentioned the idea that you thought that the problems in Ferguson were to some degree orchestrated by the government as a diversion, or at least you implied that. And some people might say that's kind of a conspiracy theory and maybe it doesn't make good sense, but what I'm thinking about is Governor Jay Nixon in Missouri. He withheld the National Guard the first night after the grand jury decision came out. And by doing so, he helped to set Ferguson back on fire. That is consistent with the idea. Why did he do that? How could anybody be dumb enough not to put federal troops or National Guard out on the street the night that the information was, the decision was released? You have to figure the guy's either a moron or he had an ulterior motive. And if he had an ulterior motive, it was to make sure that something caught fire.
Well, I don't think he wanted to catch fire.
Well, I don't know what he wanted, but it still strikes me as stupid.
I think he was pressured by the White House.
Well, that's what I mean. Terminated. His political career is basically over.
Done.
If that
he's
guy
gone.
Ever thought about running for president, that isn't going to happen.
Oh, I got friends of mine and family in Missouri, and everybody that I know is pissed.
Yeah.
They are angry over that. I'd have said, I'm going to send the National Guard out, and they're going to have live ammunition.
Yeah.
And we're going to put up with none of that. So you want to protest? You got no problem with that. You're going to light buildings on fire and break into stores? You better be wearing body armor.
Yep, and good high quality, too.
Yep, because we're not going to put up with that. I mean,
Greg, we're about out of time. Why don't you give folks, tell us where we can visit your website.
USAWatchdog.com. I just love being on with you guys. I just love, you guys give me a forum to vent because my wife's like, oh, no, not again.
Well, we love having you.
Yep, we're glad to have you on the program. Look forward to bringing you back whenever it's convenient
just one
for
thing
you.
On a serious note, you need to prepare, folks. You don't stop preparing. You get any time you get is a gift. But this is not going to end well, and it will end. And when it does, you're going to end quickly. Frauds, as there used to be an investigative reporter, end quickly. And this is a giant fraud, and it will end quickly, and stunningly, abruptly, and ugly.
Yep. All right, Greg, thanks very much. This is Greg. Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Greg, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. Last year